All right, it is Thursday, April 18, 2024. My name is Jaron Jackson, and I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. I think my volume is a little bit loud. I've had people complain that the volume has been low, so I don't know why my volume's messed up, but we want to start with Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool's mouth is his destruction. So what the fool says, and a fool is one who rejects knowledge. A fool is one who rejects God's wisdom. So a fool's mouth, what he says, is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Good morning. My name is Jaron Jackson, and I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection is the only way to salvation. Obey the gospel, my friends. Today, I want to speak about government accountability. I want to speak center stage. Okay, I think my volume is better. I want to speak center stage about government accountability. I want to run through a table of issues. Yesterday, district attorney in the Trump trial filed motions to hold him in contempt. We'll see that. Yesterday, the Speaker of the House continues to not want to look at the border. And then yesterday, the U.S. Senate actually dismissed the impeachment trial for Mayorkas, who is the Biden border czar that keeps the border open. So we have rampant unaccountability in government, a systematic lack of accountability. So I want to speak to what the foundation of government accountability is, and if you'll permit me, I will use some multimedia today. We will explore the Bible today, because I think that people need to make the connection to fear. People need to understand how God uses fear and how God does stuff. Because I see a lot of people in my feeds, social media feeds, speak about, well, here's an endorsement alert. Some moderately famous person who's probably in office endorsed another person who's running for office. And the subtext is, if we get this guy in office, somehow things will be good. But yet we had President Trump, he had the House, he had the Senate, and somehow these people just still don't do the basic fundamental issues while the nation is dying. I'm against that. I'm against that wholeheartedly. And so today I believe that we need to look at the foundation of government accountability, and the answer is fear, by the way. The foundation of government accountability is fear. So you have to explore and understand fear, and by God's grace, that's what we're going to be talking about today. The best way that you can help support this ministry, because this is a ministry of Jesus Christ in which Christ's wisdom for the world, the governance of this nation, of our relationships, the government of all things is based on Christ's wisdom. What I try to do is I try to talk about government issues, political issues, issues of the day where people are getting destroyed by pointing to Christ's wisdom. Therein, it gives me the opportunity to preach the gospel. The way that you can help me and support my family do what we do is to go to patriotswitch.com/Jaron, patriotswitch.com/Jaron. Let me roll the thing again. When you sign up, myself or somebody with me will be in touch. And it's direct product purchase. You go online, you buy American manufactured products, it's delivered right to your house. It's a private membership association. There are benefits that you get that no one else gets because it's a private membership association. It's not Costco, it's not Walmart, it's not Walgreens, it's nothing like that. It's a private business, American manufacturing. Stop giving your money to the godless commies. Give it to American manufacturing. When you shop, I get a benefit. God bless you. All right, I want to start out, if I can, with a couple videos. And one of these videos is going to be, the first is going to be Fox News reporting that Trump is in contempt of court. The second will be a mishmash of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson saying that the border is the focus. And of course, he hasn't done anything about the border. He funded the open border. He funded the war in Ukraine. And then the third video is going to be the Senate, the U.S. Senate adjourning and dismissing the impeachment trial of Secretary Mayorkas, which means that Mayorkas is still in office. He's still overseeing the open border and our nation is dying. I'm doing these three videos to show you the lawlessness and the lack of accountability in our justice system. I'm doing it to show you that the majority-led Republican House can say really big, strong things about we need to secure our border, but yet they don't do anything. And they give money away to other nations, foreign wars. And I'm doing it to show the partisanship of the U.S. Senate, whereby one person, just one, the government, the federal government has millions of employees. And when one comes up, he lies under oath, his job, he's been doing a horrible job. When he comes up for impeachment in the U.S. Senate, the partisanship is so much that the destruction of the nation does not matter, as though you can save face for political parties. And I'm laying this out to show you the systematic unaccountability of our government, in our government, so that I can then set up and talk to you about the notion that fear, the government must fear the people. They must fear the law, which ultimately begins with the fear of the Lord. And I'll say this, this is not about violence. This is not about using guns or armies or anything like that. This is, by God's grace, the simplicity, the fear of the Lord, the truth. The truth, speaking the truth, is what's going to get the fear. So let's start with this clip about Trump in contempt of court.
10:31, we got some news from inside the courtroom. Apparently, the district attorney's office has filed a written motion. So they have made it official to try and hold Donald Trump in contempt for violating the gag order that was put onto him by the judge. Well, I guess there were three allegations that the state made yesterday. Mm-hmm. And if the allegations hold up, Trump would be fined $1,000 for each violation.
That's right.
Right. So they're going to fine Trump money for him being in contempt of court and him speaking about the gag order. Yesterday's stream was about the constitutionality of the gag order, so I'm not going to rehash that. But that is lawless, and there's no accountability there. The judge is not independent. The judge is not impartial. It is prejudicial. It's violating his constitutional rights, but because Trump, and this is my opinion, because Trump pays attorneys and attorneys learn the system, the procedures and the codes, they don't learn the law. Trump is getting destroyed. Please pray for President Trump and the humility in that situation to be able to stand on the law. The second video is Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, speaking about how he's really tough on the border, but yet it's set to clown music to suggest that he's a hypocrite and a failure. Watch this.
I'm telling all of you, and we've told the American people, border, border, border.
We have to effect real policy change at the border, and that is a necessary condition to anything we do going forward.
We have to take care of our border first. That's what the American people demands.
Every state in America is now a border state.
Border, border, border.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own?
We know the urgency in Ukraine. We're going to stand for freedom and make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't march through Europe.
It's past time to secure the border.
Listen, this is a catastrophe down here.
The battle is for the border.
President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill. It better begin by defending America's national security.
Okay, these are dangerous people who are coming into the country. Over 300 known terrorists.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own?
Yeah, amen. It's just showing the hypocrisy. Again, the systematic lack of accountability. And at this point, I'm not saying anything that you don't know. And I'm not saying anything that you don't already agree with. You know this, and you agree with me, and you understand that the government is not accountable. Now, this is where I want to speak one last video. One last video. It shows the partisanship of the Democrats. It shows the partisanship of our political parties and how they are purposefully, I believe, purposefully in place to prevent remedy, to destroy the nation. Logger jammed. Using the omission of the constitutions because people haven't been taught them. People have been taught that power is in politics, so we all have to support our political parties so that we can get remedy, we can get justice, we can get good government. That's a lie. That's a scheme of the devil. That's an omission, and that's gaslighting away from our constitutions, which is why we looked at the fundamental law. But this is a video about the impeachment trial of Mayorkas, who is responsible for the open border, being dismissed. Here this is.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 49. The point of order is well taken. Article 2 falls.
Madam President.
Majority leaders recognize.
I move to adjourn the impeachment trial of Alejandro N. Mayorkas, sine die, and I ask for the yeas and nays.
Look at that smile. Look at that smile. The guy's just a good villain. He's just a good villain. That dude is a good villain. Chuck U. Schumer is a good villain. He is a good villain. You got to give him credit. He's a good villain. But this is where so the motion was granted. The impeachment trial is gone. So Mayorkas gets to continue to keep the border open while getting the government paycheck, probably trafficking people, humans, women, and the such, children. What I want to do is I want to shift gears hard on you. I want to shift gears hard. What I've done is I've tried to show systematic unaccountability. Now what I want to do is I want to return to this concept of fear, but I want to point it in a way that actually lets the Bible talk. So if I can take your attention and go all the way back to the book of Joshua, the setting is that Moses has just died. Moses has just died. And in Joshua chapter 1, God tells the people, do not be afraid. In fact, let me bring up my handy dandy. Let me get this and we'll say here. This is Joshua chapter 1. And it says here, be strong and good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Right? Then he says this, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So his Bible, God's Bible, God's word, shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So God is telling you, meditate on his Bible, meditate on his word day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. So this is where we need to be. We need to be to the position where we are meditating on God's word day and night. And I want to point out something. The story in Joshua chapter 2 is the story of Joshua hearing God promise, wherever you go, you will conquer. Wherever you go, you're going to conquer. This is your promised land. This is the land that I've given you. This is the land I've set aside. Literally, wherever you step, you will conquer. Keep in mind what I say. Do what I say. Don't stray away from what I say. Don't disobey what I say. If you do exactly what I say, everywhere you go, you will conquer. And in Joshua chapter 2, what I want to do is I want to bring up this story of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute, and we'll just read. So this is Joshua chapter 2. Permit me, please. And Joshua the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went. And they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So Joshua sent spies to a prostitute's house. The king of Jericho, where they're spying, figured out, hey, there's two dudes in here. And so the king of Jericho sent into Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they become to search out all the country. So the people in Jericho know the spies are there to search out the country because the Israelites are coming to invade. Does that make sense? The Israelites are coming to invade. The spies are sent. The people of Jericho know the spies are sent, and the people of Jericho know that the spies went to the prostitute named Rahab's house. And the woman, Rahab, took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I knew not whence they were. So she's lying for them. Rahab is lying for the spies of Israel. And it came to pass about that time of shutting the gate when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. So Rahab is saying, listen, they came here, but I didn't know where they went. I'm just a whore. I'm just a prostitute doing my stuff, and they left. It's just normal business for me. Okay? But she had brought them up to the roof of her house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in the order upon the roof. Hold on, I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them, they were gone, they shut the gate. So Rahab says, yeah, they came, but I didn't know who they were. I don't know where they went. They left. So if you go out and send them, you'll probably get them. And the people of Jericho are like, yeah, let's go get them. So the people of Jericho go out and try to search for the spies that are actually on the roof of Rahab's house. Okay. Verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up to the roof up to them. Now listen to this. Listen to what she says. And she, Rahab, the whore, the prostitute, said unto the men, the spies. So these are the spies that everyone's looking for. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now, how does a prostitute know that these spies are going to be successful? So it has not yet happened. Jericho has strong, sturdy walls. It's still standing. In fact, these men are laying on this prostitute's roof because they're afraid of getting caught. So the men from Israel are afraid of getting caught. They're spying out the land. And this prostitute says, I know the Lord's given you the land. Now think about the faith that she's saying. She says, I know this, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. The people of Jericho are scared. They are in fear. The people of Jericho are in fear. Why? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. Folks, this is 40 years ago. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt 40 years before this conversation. So 40 years ago, God did something. And Rahab, this prostitute, we don't know how old she is, she heard about it. But not just her, everybody. Everybody in Jericho had heard this. And they were scared. They were scared not of the Israelites, they were scared of God. Why? Because God had dried up the river of the water of the Red Sea, and he did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and they were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Folks, the foundation of government accountability is fear. The government has to fear you. And in their fear, what do they do? The king of Jericho sit unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. Why is the king of Jericho coming to seek out the spies of Israel? Because his heart is melted. He knows the terror of the Lord has fallen, and God has given the Israelites the land. And so because the king of Jericho knows this, this is what the Bible says, his heart melts, and he's trying to search out the people who are there gaining information. They're trying to search out God's people. But do not miss the fact that the people of Jericho have heard what God has done in the past. So they know what God has done in the past. They know that people are there because of God. They are there. The spies are there because they represent the people of God. And their hearts have melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11, because the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, if you pay attention to me on any regular basis, if you're watching this now, either today or years from now, if you're watching this and I'm dead for decades, this is the central issue of government accountability. The foundation of government accountability is that the government has to know the people created it. The government has to be afraid of the people. That is the precondition of government accountability. I've showed you clips about how the judge is going to hold Trump in contempt, or the district attorney is going after Trump for contempt for breaking the gag order. And what's the issue? You know, you ordered this judge, you ordered a gag order, and this guy can't talk about his case. Punish him. Systematic unaccountability. Systematic lawlessness. Speaker Johnson. Is his name? Speaker Johnson. You have said border, border, border. No spending unless there's a border resolution. No foreign wars, no money for foreign wars unless there's action on the border. Border, 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 border. That's what you've done. And yet nothing. Nothing. You've punted. You haven't done anything. You fully funded everybody you said you would not. Impeachment trial, Mayorkas. This dude isn't responsible for the open border. Open borders kill nations. Mass migration kills nations. These guys are in charge. The moment of justice to remove the one official who's been rubber stamping the open border policies, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, the lawlessness, the changing of the demographics of the nation. This guy's responsible, and the Senate Democrats hold party lockstep and say, we ain't doing it. Systematic unaccountability. The people in government do not fear the people. The government does not fear the people. Period. Many pundits might talk about, well, the border issue, here's the statistics, and here's the border policy. They don't fear the government. Here's somebody who's coming up for an impeachment trial. He's publicly well-established facts, known to be doing bad stuff. Doesn't matter. No fear of the people. The government doesn't fear the people. And because the government doesn't fear the people, they do whatever they want to do. And because they do whatever they want to do, lawlessness happens, injustice happens, oppression happens. So how do you get the fear of people? How do people hold government accountable? How does that happen? We'll get to that question. What I want to do is I first want to give you an image. I want to give you an image, and this image is going to provide you the solution. There is a famous director who made horror movies back in the day, Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock used to make movies. He's dead now. I don't think he was a Christian. Alfred Hitchcock used to make movies, and his movies were horror movies. And they changed the way of movie making because he was able to do sounds and images and concepts that just grated under you. One of his movies is named Birds. And at the very ending of Birds, I'm going to play this. Let me set this up. There's a town, I think it's in Massachusetts or something, doesn't matter, but there's this town. And something happens to the birds, like all the little birds, the crows, the pigeons, the seagulls, all the little birds. Think about all the birds that fly around in the air. These birds start attacking people. They peck out their eyes. They fly through windows. They're scratching and clawing, and they kill people. The movie has people being killed by birds, just ripping people's flesh off and going out and gouging out their eyes. And there's a famous scene where a woman is standing inside of a glass phone booth, and the birds just kamikaze jump and smash through the glass. These birds go crazy. And because they are viciously determined to kill humans, and because there's like billions of them, the humans are outnumbered. And the humans can't, if the human bats down one bird, there's like a million more birds to take their spot. If they try to go inside, the birds start going through the walls. They start destroying the walls, which of course, you know, obviously this is fiction. But the portrayal, what Hitchcock does beautifully, Hitchcock takes something that everybody knows to be fact, that they can't dispute, which is the fact that there's a lot more birds than there are people. And he just does one simple thing. He just changes the power dynamic. That's all he does. All he does is he takes the fact that there's way more birds than there are people. And he just changes the paradigm of the bird. All he does is say the birds are going to attack the people. Now, it's fact that there's way more birds than people. Just as it is fact that there are way more people than there is people in government. There's way more of us than there are of them. And again, this is not a call to violence. It's not a call to killing or murder. I'm using this as an illustration to show when the bird's paradigm changes, the entire power structure changes. And because the entire power structure changes, the people, the government in this case, the government is powerless to do anything against the birds. When the government fears the people, the government can't do anything to the people. When the people fear the government will run roughshod over the people everywhere they want to. Whether that is, we're going to fund the border, and then they just fund foreign wars and they don't fund the border. Or you make America great again, and then they criminally prosecute the one guy that was telling people where their power was. And that because people didn't learn their lessons of what the state constitutions say or what the maxims say, or to hold their people in government accountable to what they swore to, the constitutions, because people didn't do that and they don't learn and they don't fear God and they don't stand on what the text says, they actually get destroyed. Or how about whenever there are politically motivated politicians who do impeach the one guy, Mayorkas, who's overseeing the border, which is open and destroying the nation, and they bring it to a trial, an impeachment trial in Senate. Just get one guy out of office. And they fall short because political gridlock made it to where the majority in the Senate is two people more than the Republicans. Which means that every U.S. senator in the every Republican U.S. senator will be able to say, I voted for the impeachment, and we need to get more Republicans to get out those Democrats, which just kicks the can down the road. And everybody is, and so in the whole time, everybody is fearing government because they think the power is in politics. They think power is in, let's vote this guy in and he can go do the thing, and then him in the office can then we'll get conservative policies. I hope this is registering. I hope this is actually like seeping in and you recognize, yeah, that's basically what's been happening. I'm 38 years old. Today is 2024, March 18, 2024. I am 38 years old. This has been the case my entire life. If you're older than me, you probably can be like, yeah, amen. Or you'd be like, sit down, sonny. Let me tell you about how corrupt politics are. And if that's the case, okay, let's repent. Let's repent. We do that being informed by this scene from Alfred Hitchcock's movie, Birds. Now, this is them at the very end. This is the very end of the movie. This is them leaving their house after people have been killed, after birds are everywhere, just horrible, horrible stuff. So this is the very end of the movie.
Thank you.
Now, that might be a weird way to demonstrate what it is that I'm saying. The birds outnumbered the people. In government, we the people outnumber government by a large matter. And the constitutions speak to us, people, having all political power. The constitutions literally bind all of government. First of all, they create government. Secondly, they were designed to bind government. So anybody in government is strictly bound to the powers that the constitutions speak to. If you do not know this, you will see the Mayorkas impeachment, the contempt against Trump. You will see the lawlessness of Speaker Johnson just funding everything except for what's necessary, the border. You will see this and say, well, can't do anything. Got a lawless country. The country's gone. These are the people that I really don't want to talk to, and I really don't want to ever listen to. Because they'll say the obvious. They'll say that water is wet. They'll say the sun is bright. But they won't go to the shade, and they won't drink the water. They'll declare the obvious, but then they won't use it. They won't grow crops with the sunlight. They won't actually use the water to quench their thirsts. They won't use the things that they observe. They observe the things, but then they don't do anything. Go back to Joshua chapter 2. Rahab understood God had done stuff 40 years ago. And that was sufficient for Rahab and everybody else to fear the Israelites. And Rahab and her family were the only ones that in their fear went to the Israelites and said, please show me mercy. And they did that while they had the position of authority over the Israelites. Do you see that? Do you see how whenever the two spies went to Rahab's house, she could have easily said, they're right there, guys. I hid them on my roof. They're in the flax stacks. Go get them. And the men of Jericho, the people of Jericho, were they were more than sufficient. The people of Jericho were more than sufficient to get the two spies, put them to death, and then there you go. But in that position, Rahab's fear of God doing something 40 years ago was greater than her fear of her own king, her own people, while they were still temporarily in the position of authority. Do not miss that. So that whenever you and me, your neighbor, and anybody else that you can get to stand on the constitutions, when we come together, we are starting to function like these birds. We're starting to function in ways that the government is not used to. We are starting to do things that they're going to be like, holy crap, we don't actually have any authority to stop this. And this is how it grows. This is how it multiplies. This is how you broadly diffuse the truth, freedom, and your power. This is also the wisdom of the gospel, insofar that the more that you persecute the church, the more the church grows. What happened whenever the Roman Caesars started to go after the churches with their Bibles? The Christians started ripping up their Bibles and distributing and making copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. That's why we can look at the Byzantine texts where they come out of Turkey, the Byzantium text. We can look at that and say that these things are this is the word of God. God has preserved his word. And in the persecution of the church, he multiplied, he proliferated the amounts of manuscripts. God used the persecution of his own church to distribute his word and to grow the church. And here you have persecution of people, lawlessness, oppression, privation, corruption. You have deceit. You have treachery, greed, graft, corruption, otherwise subterfuge. You have it on a mass scale. Everybody sees it. Literally everybody sees it. Both parties see it. And the one thing that they're not doing is just standing on the truth of the constitutions. When you do that, it changes. It engages a different psychology in government. It puts them from the position of, I'm just walking down the street, look at those beautiful birds just squawking and whatever. And most people don't even regard the birds. Most people don't even care about what the birds do. They might see them fly around and do whatever, but do they ever fear these birds? Nope. They don't. What happened if all the birds in the world started attacking you viciously with the intent to try to peck out your eyes and kill you? You would very quickly stay indoors and de-bird your life. You would not want to mess with them. So what happens whenever the people start actually saying, this is what the Constitution says, and you go right at government officials going, you swore to this. Here it is in writing. You swore. Here it is. Folks, the foundation of government accountability is fear. And this is not a call to violence. This is not something where we're actually going to say, go out and get your guns and start your militias and do all your things. That's not what this is. And if you think that you're stupid, and you're strawmanning me, by the way, the people that will say that, the people, whether they be government agents or they be opponents of mine, or they be someone who loves their cowardice and they love their inaction, they will love the fact that they are disobedient to the Lord or disobedient to the truth. And they will say, well, he's calling for violence and we don't want that. I'm not calling for violence. Listen, Lord willing, I never shoot a gun for the rest of my life unless it's like target practice and just for fun. I don't want to do any violence. I don't want to fight anybody. I don't even want to get in arguments. I don't even like debating. I used to. I used to love getting in debates and arguments and going back and forth and back and forth and trying to show how smart I was against people. I don't want to do that at all. I've got three little kids. I've got one on the way. I've got a beautiful wife, and I want to live my life. I don't want fights. But I'm not going to just let corrupt people be corrupt. I'm not just going to let evil flourish. What kind of man am I? What kind of man am I if I do that? I'm going to look at my children, potentially grandchildren, Lord willing, one day. I'm going to look at them and say, yeah, I didn't really do anything. I didn't really try to direct people to their power. I just sat around and didn't do anything. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that, especially whenever I know the way that God works. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 if we can. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, and this is where I want to, you know, hit it from a different angle if I can. So if we go to Acts chapter 9, let's pull up my handy dandy producer of one. If we go to Acts chapter 9, this is Paul's conversion story, okay? So read Acts chapter 9, and Saul turns into Paul, but let's go up here. I'll just read it. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him to letters of Damascus to the synagogues, that if he, Paul, Saul, found any of this way, so if Saul found any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So go arrest them and bring them back. And by the way, he was slaughtering them and threatening them. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now consider, this is Jesus. He's about to tell you that. This is Jesus asking Saul why Saul is persecuting Jesus. But Saul is only doing what? Threatenings and slaughters against who? The Christians. So Saul is threatening and killing Christians, but Jesus regards Saul as persecuting him. Don't miss that. If you persecute Christ's church, Christ takes that personally. Okay? Verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling, Saul is now trembling. See fear? This is fear. This right here is fear. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? You see how quick that was? Saul went from, I'm going to go get letters and bind these Christians so that I can slaughter them and threaten them, to, hey, I'm afraid. What do you want me to do? That's submission. Do you see that? Thou have me do. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and if it shall be told, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So Jesus doesn't really even tell him what to do except for get up and go to the city. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. So he's getting up, which means he fell down. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was Paul, but they led him by the hand. He was blind, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So Saul is going to go get these letters to attack these Christians. A bright light happens and he can't see anything. Jesus tells him, you're persecuting me, Saul. Every single time you mess with Christians, you mess with me. I don't like that. Get up and go to the city. So Saul can't see. He goes to Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. This is how scared he is. Saul is so scared he cannot see. So imagine going your entire life without being able to, or you go your whole life with vision, and now all of a sudden you have no vision. And you have no vision because the Lord of the universe says, yeah, you're doing me wrong. And then, so you got to be groping around, being led. The people that were with him are no doubt saying, all right, Paul, or all right, Saul, go here, step here, step here. Imagine the faith, imagine the humility that is. And he's also not eating or drinking. No drinks. He's not drinking water for 3 days. Imagine that. I mean, I could go for a fast, but no water? Folks, that's scary. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now look at this. This is how God works. God goes directly to Saul, and he does what we've just read. In the meantime, God has another disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So don't miss this. God goes to his disciple Ananias. So Ananias is one of these men or women following Jesus in Damascus. So Saul gets a letter. Saul, who's been killing Christians, gets a letter to go after men exactly like Ananias. Does that make sense? Ananias gets visited by the Lord and says, hey, go to this guy Saul of Tarsus, because this guy Ananias, you are going to give him sight. Now, do you think Ananias had been just giving people sight all over the place? This is a very weird situation. Then Ananias answered the Lord, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, which means that Saul's killing of the church had become so popular that the men and women that he was going after would have known who he was. And Ananias is going, God, are you sure you want me to do this? Because that dude kills Christians. That guy kills Christians. And he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Now think about this. Ananias, who is a disciple of the Lord, tells the Lord, after the Lord says, hey, go find Saul, because you're going to give him his sight back. Ananias' response is, he's got authority from the synagogues to bind the people that call upon thy name. Saul has authority from the government to come persecute your people, God. That's what he's going to do. But, opposite, contrast, the Lord said unto him, go. So God hears what he says, and God says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The point of this is that while God is telling Saul, who's going to go try to kill Christians and has killed Christians, you're persecuting me, you now work for me. In the meantime, he's going to go to another of his disciples to get that guy spun up to go meet Paul, now Saul, or go meet Saul and say, Saul, here's your eyes. Womp. And then when Ananias says, whoa, God, that dude kills Christians. Are you sure you want me to go do this? Are you sure you want me to go against authorities that are doing unrighteousness? Are you sure you want me to go in obedience against those working wickedness? Are you sure you want me to do that? Because they kill Christians. You know this, right? And God says, go. Go do it. Go do it, because those people, that guy, Saul, I'm going to show him a lot of things he has to suffer for my sake. Folks, when you do not begin your fear with the Lord, you begin your fear with not the Lord. The government does not fear people, because people do not fear God. The foundation of government accountability is that government must fear people. They must. And the law binds them to obey us and defend us. But if you don't know the law, the government won't fear you. If you don't come together with your people, with your neighbors, with the people at church, with the people around your place, if you don't come together with the people, you will not generate the fear that is required of government to obey you. They will look at you as an individual and they will say, screw that person, run them over. Bind them, run them over, smash them. And they do. They do it to Trump. They're doing it right now to Trump. You got Speaker Johnson. He don't give a crap. They are destroying the nation. They are destroying people because they don't fear people. And it's ultimately because people don't fear the Lord. We don't fear the Lord in our personal lives. We don't believe that His Bible has any power. We don't believe that His Bible is true. We don't believe that His Bible has authority right now today. We may think that that was written for a time back then, or it's written for a time to come, but it certainly doesn't mean anything right now because these are just words on a page. The words on the page don't mean anything for me. And the core issue is that we don't believe what God says. So because we don't fear God, government doesn't fear us, and we get destroyed for it. And I'm telling you, God is using government to destroy and punish us. He's using the wicked to accomplish His will, which is to get us to come to Him. God wants us to come to Him. He wants fellowship with us. It is no surprise that He would then allow the wicked, let the wicked work their wickedness, so that the rest of us can see the wickedness and go, what's going on? Which is then why He raises people up to come and preach. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. If you don't believe and don't fear God, how do you believe and think that the government's ever going to obey you? They don't fear you. They don't care about you at all. They're treating you just like you treat God. They're ignoring you. They're disobeying you. They're blowing you off. They're running roughshod right over the things that you care about, over the things that you concern yourself with. You see the unrighteousness. You see the lawlessness. You see the bad things going on. And the government just runs right over you. It don't care. That should make you recognize, is your posture towards the Lord the same as governments towards us? And a lot of politics has got us so fixated because we believe that power must be competed for. It's at the end of a gun. That's what Mao Zedong said. Power comes from the end of a barrel of a gun. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be children of God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52, for those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. If you live with violence, you're going to die by violence. If you live like this, you're going to be destroyed by this. It comes down to faith. It comes down to fear. Folks, the most important thing that I do is I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus died for our sins. He shed His blood. He was dead and they put Him in the grave. 3 days later, He physically rose. When you hear that, you hear that that is the only way that God has made provision to get to Him. The only way to God is to get through Jesus. You have to go through Jesus. You must be washed in His blood. You must be born again. You must be covered by Him. You must make your appeal to Christ. When you hear the gospel, do you believe the gospel? Do you trust Him? If you don't trust what the Bible says, then you're not going to trust what the gospel is, because the Bible points to Christ, and Christ came so that the gospel may save. He came to seek and save that which is lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. So whenever you believe the gospel, now the call is to obey, because there's plenty of people here that believe that the Constitution is the law. Yeah, of course I believe the Constitution is the law, but I don't obey it. Who cares? I don't obey that dumb Constitution. So if you hear the gospel, but you don't obey the gospel, it's the same as though you don't believe the gospel, because who cares? So whenever the Bible tells you the response to the gospel is to repent of your sin and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. When you hear that, you say, no, I don't have to do that because of tradition or doctrine or because that's your different interpretation, Jaron. That's not what the Bible says. Okay. If Christ the King rose from the grave and he says, I got all the power, which he did in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. If he says, I got all the power, and then he lays down how you are to obey him. Roger that, sir. Roger that, King. I will do whatever you tell me to do. It is that simple. It is that simple. You come up with different interpretations, different philosophies, different hermeneutics, which is coming from the Greek god Hermes, which was a liar from the underworld that deceived people with messages. So when someone says my hermeneutic, they're using a word based on a Greek god that lies. That's just your hermeneutic. Well, that's just a gaslight to say that you get your own private interpretation because you get to appeal to this guy that's got a doctorate in Bible or this seminary that has its roots from some dude that just started writing about what the Bible meant, who he was not inspired. He's not an apostle. And why would you let someone who's not inspired tell you what the Bible means whenever the Bible tells you that the Holy Spirit tells you what the Bible means? This is folly. Obey the gospel. Friends, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you watching. Please share this with other people. The best way that you can support me, the ministry, and my family is to shop at patriotswitch.com/Jaron. You are already spending money. Switch it from Walmart and Costco and all these other godless commie corporations and switch it over to an American manufacturing company. When you sign up, myself or somebody with me will call. Normal people. Normal, plain Jane people like you, shoppers, people who have already experienced it. So we know the quality of the products. We know that there's cost savings. We know that it's better. We know that the customer service is better. We know the quality of the products is much greater. We know this already. We are shoppers. We'll call you. We'll say, hey, here's where it is. It's just online shopping. You go there, you want that, click, boom, there you go. When you shop at patriotswitch.com/Jaron, that's a benefit and a blessing to my family. God bless you. Thank you very much. Until next time, my name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Do not quit. Go to war.